We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Normally a national holiday. Normally, Fesco, we're either at the K or on a couple of occasions we've been at other locations. I think at Union Station one year, right? Where were we last year?
We were down at the Westin
last year. Last year.
We would have been at Price Chopper today.
Yes, for Greater Kansas City.
Yep, Greater Kansas City Day. We would have been at Price Chopper at 103rd and State Line
That's
today.
Right.
Doing the show. John Sherman would have been there. Mike Sweeney would have been there. Billy Butler would have been there. So many
today
former
today was
greats.
To be the
Dustin
home opener.
Dustin Colquitt would have been there. Everybody would have been rolled out today to support Kansas City Day and Greater Kansas City Day and making a difference for the great Rotary Camp in Kansas City to send kids to camp. It's their big fundraiser day. And obviously, that's not happening right now. We're not sending anybody anywhere. We're not doing anything. We're all quarantined.
What?
And we're all trying to get through this pandemic at the same time and trying to help each other by doing what's best for others and not necessarily what's doing best for ourselves. But here we sit on a day where we don't have opening day out at Kauffman Stadium. And it would have been a lot of fun.
On a plus note, you can still get drunk in the afternoon.
Absolutely. You can do that as well.
You can
watch
skip
the
out
game.
Work.
You can watch the game yeah. with Binkley at 3 o'clock on YouTube and you know, pound a couple of beers and do whatever you want to do today. And tomorrow off if you want. I don't know that anybody will necessarily
miss
you. Are we
moving it up to 3 o'clock? They do them at 6 o'clock every night.
Never have done a home opener at 6 o'clock, but that's okay. You live in your world.
Well, no. Like the simulated
reality.
Royals.
No. They play at the normal time. Yeah, they play at the normal time that a game is going to be played.
That's not accurate.
It isn't? I thought he was playing the games like he played the opener at 1 o'clock the other
day. That was just for the opening day.
Oh,
6
I
o'clock
think
every other day.
Every other one? Even every on the weekends he's doing 6
that's,
o'clock at night games?
Correct.
Oh, all right. Well, shows how much I've been paying attention to that. But I think that ultimately he was going to play the games at the times that they were supposed to be played. But whatever. 3 o'clock opening day here on 610 Sports Radio is what we should have had today. And always one of the best days, Josh, in Kansas City is opening day. I mean, regardless of what you think the ball club is going to do and how you think the Royals are going to be that year, opening day always created a lot of buzz, always created a lot of fun. It was always really that kind of that first day that everybody could get out. I mean, it was like a symbol of everybody getting out. Winter was over and baseball was here, and everybody was always excited out at Kauffman Stadium. And Greater Kansas City was always one of my favorite days because you got to see so many former Royals, so many former Chiefs, some current Chiefs, some current Royals as well that get involved in helping the Rotary Camp out. And at this point in time, every organization, every nonprofit needs as much help as they possibly can get. And I know just from being in some meetings this year with the Rotary Club and how important Greater Kansas City Day really is to them, and that really funds their budget for the year to send all of these kids to camp. And now I don't know if kids are going to go to camp this summer, what that situation is going to entail, but I know a lot of nonprofits right now are hurting because we don't have the opportunity to give them the funding that they needed because everybody's cooped up and nobody's doing anything right now. So keep that in mind when you're trying to think about, you know, ways you can help. Maybe you can scratch a check to a nonprofit in town. There's a lot of them that do a lot of good things that help a lot of people that aren't getting the money and the funding that they need right now, including the Rotary Camps. And we'd be raising money for those guys and gals today to be able to go to camp down at Price Chopper at 103rd and State Line for Greater Kansas City Day. But that'll just get pushed back. And maybe once the opening day is is announced in Major League Baseball and we're going to do something like that and we can start to gather again, maybe we'll put on that event again, or maybe it just goes until next year. Who knows what's going to happen?
Toby Cook just texted to the Royals, said to get in your seat a couple hours early, too, because they're going to have a lot of festivities.
A lot of festivities.
At the ballpark,
at the ballpark
national
anthem, fireworks, flyover.
I missed that. Today is scheduled to be opening day. So get your butts in the seats early because they're going to introduce all the former Royals.
That's right.
It's great.
A couple of people maybe you never heard of before.
Opening day swell.
Whatever.
Man.
So there's always that fun before the game, you know, that happens out of Kauffman Stadium. They do a great job with opening day. It takes those guys months to plan opening day and what they're going to do and how they're going to honor it. And, you know, this year, opening day, man, it would have been the five-year anniversary of the 2015 World Series championship team. I mean, we'd be looking back at already 5 years, guys, that has gone by since the World Champions. You mentioned Alden Smith hasn't played since 2015. He's been out of the league for 4 years. How quick that has gone. I had no idea that Alden Smith hadn't played in the last 4 years. But when you start to look at the calendar and realize, man, we're in 2020 already, and that was 5 years ago that the Royals won that World Championship. It really does seem like yesterday, doesn't it? I mean, I can imagine like those folks that were really around in 1985 when they hit 1990 and went, wow, that was 5 years already since that championship. You hope you don't go that long until you get another one. But that 5 years went quick, man. It went very, very fast. And in those 5 years, we've seen the organization change over managers. All these new players are here. A new owner is in. Really, the only constant has been Alex Gordon and Danny Duffy and Salvador Perez. Those are the guys that are left, you know, from that 2015 team. So here we are in 5 years, man. It moves so, so, so fast. And that's why I keep telling everybody, enjoy these moments that we're in right now. When we are winning and we are doing good things and we are having fun and we are winning games, no matter what sport it is, you got to enjoy those moments because they come fast, they go fast. And before you know it, you're looking back and you go, that was 5 years ago already that they won the World Championship? I thought that was yesterday, you know?
You might have some guys on that team back for, like, the alumni portion of opening day already.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, like Johnny Gomes, he's no longer playing. He could come back for opening day. Chris Young is working in the Major League Baseball front office right now. I don't know if Edison Volquez is still out there pitching for somebody at this point in time.
I hope so.
He may be a guy that comes back.
Hochaver,
obviously, yeah, he's a guy that can come back as be an alum for opening day. Greg Holland may still be on the team, so he could be out there pitching for the Royals on opening day.
In the Rangers organization.
The Rangers organization. So, okay, so man, he's not going to come back. Maybe we're still a little bit, you know, close to that date where a lot of these guys aren't coming back because you still got your Haases, your Mooses, your Salvies. A lot of these guys are still playing around Major League Baseball. But in the next couple of years, guys, 5 years from now, we'll be honoring the 10th anniversary of that team. I would bet a lot of those guys that were on that team are back for that 10-year anniversary celebration.
So we're not starting opening day today. We still don't know exactly how many games are going to be played this season. They're still haggling out that, obviously, the can we play first, but then also what is the most efficient way to determine a season. We chatted with former MLB manager Bobby Valentine on the show yesterday, and we'll hear from him throughout the show today. Obviously, the impetus for that was he was managing the Mets after 9/11, and they hosted, of course, the first game in New York after 9/11 happened, and how baseball was used as healing for not just New York, but a nation as well at that time of things. But we also discussed what his plan would be for this particular season and how many games would be, I guess, the right amount.
Well, I think the season, the integrity of the season has a place in our fabric. And I think that we need to devise a new look season that will give a champion a credible crown. And that's why people watch the game and that's why they root for their home team to see if, in fact, their team could be the last one standing. So I think it's necessary to provide a couple hours of enjoyment, relaxation, a chance to get away. Everyone needs to have a feeling of familiarity with something that they are affectionately connected to. And that's what the sport needs to bring back to our fabric. that familiar feeling of comfort.
I like how he termed it, though, a credible champion.
Yeah.
How many games does it take to make a credible champion and not, I guess watered down?
Right. Right? Yeah. I mean, I think he has a point there with that credible champion, but he says, you know, that's why people watch and that's why people root for their hometown team. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, let's just take Kansas City, for example. I think when you look at the Royals, you know the situation that the Royals are in. They're in the process of building towards becoming that credible champion. I think when you open a Major League Baseball season, you know, New York, Boston, you know, maybe the Dodgers, you know, maybe you look at, you know, some of the other, you know, possible teams that could win a championship in Major League Baseball this year, the Cleveland Indians, maybe fans of the Indians think they can win a championship this year. There's a couple of hot pockets across the country that obviously have those championship expectations. But I think for the most people in Major League Baseball, when you go through the season, you start the season knowing that Major League Baseball is there because you like baseball, because you're a baseball fan, and you're going to watch it because you love your hometown team. Everybody knows that each year is not going to be your year. You're going to have some of those battles to face. And so why Bobby suggests crowning that credible champion, I understand that. You don't want to play a 60-game season and award somebody a champion and say they're the champions of baseball because you played a 60-game year, you know, in a perfect world. But we're not in a perfect world. And he went on to talk about, Josh, a few hours of enjoyment and relaxation. And I think ultimately that's what it's about. That's why the sports world needs to get back going. That's why we need to get back to watching sports again, because it does create that enjoyment, it does create that relaxation, it does create that escape from the norm. And even if your team is bad, like, you know, the Royals lost 100 games the last couple of years, even if it's a bad team, you're still going to turn the game on that night, you're still going to have the game on, you're still going to use that as enjoyment and as an escape from reality. And if baseball comes back and plays 81 games or whatever the numbers is, they still have the playoffs, I don't think anybody's going to care at the end how many games the eventual champ won in the regular season. They're going to know that baseball came back and gave us a distraction from what this reality is in which we're living right now. And ESPN this morning had a guy by the name of Dr. Marshall Leonard on. He used to play for the New England Revolution in soccer. And, you know, he was talking about, right, but what he said this morning on ESPN I thought was really, really good. He was on with Scott Van Pelt, and Van Pelt was talking to him about, you know, being a doctor now and what that's like and all of that kind of stuff. And at the end of the interview, he thanked him for his time, and Dr. Leonard goes, hold on a second here. He goes, you don't understand. We need sports back because that's going to give us that distraction. And he goes, while you guys are rooting for us right now, we can't wait to get back to see you guys playing again to give us that distraction that we need. And so that's the role that sports can play in all of this. And I think sometimes people who are invested in the sports don't think outside the box enough, whether it's baseball or the NBA. We're all worried about crowning this credible champion right now and fitting the right amount of games in. I think any amount of game at any level, at any sport right now, is a good amount of games to give people that distraction that they need. Because now you come home from work or you come home from a hard day if you're a doctor or whatnot, and you flip on the TV and all it is negative news. We need to get that sports aspect back in our lives to give people that real release, because eventually you are going to run out of stuff on Netflix. Eventually you are going to run out of stuff that you're watching on Hulu or Amazon Prime or whatever you're watching right now, and you're going to need that live sporting event that's going to be different every single night. And that's why it's important to get the sports back, not necessarily to crown a credible champion. I don't think anybody should be thinking about crowning a credible champion in any sport this year. We should just be thinking about a way to get the sports back so the folks in the United States can use that as an escape and a way to create some joy in their lives right now.
Safely get it back. Not in any rush myself, but I understand the sports world would be in a rush. And again, I'm spending people's money.
Right, sure.
I'm spending organizations' money, and they're all fearful of you know, when can they get their business back open again?
Yeah.
And that's not just sports, probably at this point in time.
It's everything.
It's everything, and I get it. But also, we got to make sure it's the right way to do it.
Correct.
Right?
You don't want to get it back and start games, then all of a sudden you
have to stop games and
bring it back. You don't want to be in that situation. And yeah, I'm with you. Make sure it's brought back safe and right and all that. I'm not trying to rush sports back, but I'm saying is sports has a different role in life this year than it has had ever before. And it's not necessarily to say who won the World Series or who won the Super Bowl or who won the NBA title or any of that. It's about how they created that distraction and gave us the opportunity to escape reality for a couple of hours every single night.
So he's going to walk it back on the retirement thing. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So today was to be the home opener.
That's right.
Royals and Mariners this afternoon here on 610 Sports Radio. So, of course, we can't bring you that, but 610 Sports Radio will be airing classic games on Royals playback beginning tonight.
Oh, cool. What game do we have tonight?
7 o'clock tonight for 2015 World Series clinching Game 5 against the Mets in New York.
All right. Nice. That's a good one. Yep.
There you go. That's how we're getting you started. Games will air Tuesday and Thursday nights at 7, Saturdays at 6, Sundays at noon. The series will feature games from the 2015 World Series and other games over the past 10 years. You can check out the full schedule at 610sports.com.
What is your favorite game from those two seasons? Because, like, you say the 2015 World Series clinching game. I'm like, man, I'd rather watch the wild card game. You know, like that was the one for
me. These are 2015 games, yeah, though.
Right.
2014 Game 6. That was really
2014
good.
Game 6 was a really good one as well. Yeah, that.
Although
that,
you
that
do get
up there. Yep.
You do get on Saturday at 6, Game 4 of the ALDS.
Oh,
that's really good too.
That's a good one as well.
That's a really good one on Saturday.
Saturday at 6 o'clock. That game will be run.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, those are a couple of games that I think rank higher than the World Series clinching game.
Sip to the belt.
Yeah.
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 That
sip
one.
To the belt.
That one.
I feel like a couple of the Angels games, like that whole series kind of got overlooked, the 2014 Angels series.
I agree.
Over the ALDS.
Yep, like, because before you knew it was over.
Well, they were just cruising. Like, that's kind of fun to watch.
If I'm not mistaken, weren't those like Friday, Saturday games out in Anaheim, so they were over the weekend, and then by the time they came back to Kauffman Stadium for that third game, it was over before we even mm-hmm. knew it, and we were on, you know, to the American League Championship Series against Buck Showalter and the Baltimore Orioles that year, and then that day game where Moose had the catch over the rail in the luxury box down there on the dugout box, that was an incredible play and an incredible game as well, and they swept that series. You're like, oh my gosh, this team has won 8 straight games in the playoffs, and you're right, Ryan. I think over the entire run of the postseason, those games against the Anaheim Angels get overlooked. And I would bet if you asked a lot of Royals fans who they beat in the playoffs that year, they go Oakland and Baltimore, and people would forget about the Anaheim Angels series because they were Friday, Saturday games. They were over the weekend. They came back to Kauffman Stadium on that Monday, won that game, and before you settled into the work week and really got the playoffs going, the Royals were already on to the next round. I mean, it was already on to the American League Championship Series that year, and by the time the American League Championship Series got going, that was over, and they were on to the World Series because they were cruising along that time that year, and it was really outstanding. I'd go to that Game 6 against Toronto as well, you know, with the rain delay. I thought that was a pretty amazing game where they put Wade Davis in, and then they bring Wade Davis back after the rain delay, and then, you know, Lorenzo Cain scoring from first because of how good the scouting department was to set that up and to understand if that situation ever occurred, what to do. Like that Game 6 against the Blue Jays was pretty spectacular as well. There was a lot of really
Game 6
fun
ALCS?
Games. Yeah. When is that?
April 18th.
April
18th.
All right. So that's a good one as well. There you go. You got the date for that. So those are some of the games that I really liked over the course of that. I'm glad we're running these games. So what did you say? Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. Be ready for all of those classic Royals games here on 610 Sports Radio.
So Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7. Saturdays at 6. And then Sunday's noon game.
There you go. Sunday at noon.
So,
I like it.
So a day game after a night game. Sundays after the Saturday game. So starting tonight with Game 5 of the World Series against the Mets, 7 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. Steve Stewart's going to do some narrating.
Oh, cool.
Leading into the full broadcast. So there you go. So tune in for that tonight here on 610 Sports Radio. All right, this is going to be the first of probably many. It might not have been the first. It was the one that caught my eye first. Let's put it that way. But Iowa State jumping out and crying poor. 3 weeks of the tournament were canceled, right?
And we haven't even had the third week yet.
Right?
This would have been the third week.
This is the week of the Final
this
Four.
This is the week of the Final Four.
Right?
Yeah.
This is the week of the Final Four. Big day today down in Atlanta for the Thursday before the Final Four. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't have spring seasons.
Right.
We didn't have spring football. We didn't have spring sports. But nobody has any money, apparently. So already Iowa State's looking to cut about $4 million. They've announced a 1-year temporary pay reduction for coaches and certain staff. They're planning to reduce the payroll by more than $3 million. a one-year temporary suspension of all bonuses and incentives for all coaches. This decision will save the department $1 million. Mm-hmm. Now, those are the direct, like, coach ones. They are saving some things from the fans. They're delaying, basically, your decision on whether or not to buy or to give, mm-hmm. right, in order to get better tickets. They're going to freeze ticket prices for all sports.
Are Iowa State tickets in that hot demand where people are giving up, like, donations to get better seats at Iowa State
yeah,
games?
Every school does that. Yeah. I mean, every school does that, regardless. Plus, they have good attendance in both football and basketball. So, yeah. They're going to delay the previously announced increase in what you are going to have to give to get the better seats, right? They're gonna move you up a slot, right?
Okay.
They've delayed that. That'll save donors about $2.5 million, okay? They've extended football season ticket renewals a little bit later, mm-hmm. not knowing where the season is, and other things to help the fans, which is cool. I love the fan portion. But now we're already seeing they're gonna cut coaches' pay when they decided what they were paying the coaches.
Right, exactly. Yes,
not to say that some sport coaches aren't overpaid, but there's a lot that aren't.
For sure,
right.
Yeah.
Some of those minor sports. And now, based on 3 weeks of not having a basketball tournament, you're deciding, man, we gotta completely shut it down, and save a bunch of money. So they're already looking to cut $4 million based on what the tournament meant.
Yeah.
Isn't that just you've done a bad job over the years of, like, bookkeeping?
I think so.
And you've done a bad job of, like, overspending at certain positions on coaches?
Yeah.
And now you're going to, like, bring it back because it's convenient for you to do it? I think these types of stories suck.
Yeah, they do.
I think they make me I know businesses are cutting all over the place, but sports is the one that, like, how much money are you spending every year that you don't have a rainy day fund to cover something like this? You're not playing your spring sports. Guess what? Those are the sports you pretend to care about, but you really don't. You're not paying to travel the softball team anywhere.
Right.
And house them for a weekend series in Stillwater. You're not traveling the baseball team. You're not sending the track and field team to Oregon for a track meet. You know how much money they're saving right now doing all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're crying, we don't have any money. This is it, man. We lost a basketball tournament. We're out. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable to me that their finances are this bad all over the place in college athletics.
It really is embarrassing that all college athletic departments are doing this right now. And you saw down at the University of Central Florida where Danny White is the athletic director basically saying the government now needs to bail out athletic departments all over the country.
Yeah, no.
Because they didn't. No. You know what you need to do? Put down the Cabernet, put down the fillets, and grab yourself a burger at McDonald's and a Coca-Cola instead of going out there and spending frivolously like these athletic departments do. What with your private jets, your lavish meals, your umpteen number of people that work in your department
hula
that you probably
and
don't need,
video games.
And your Dan Fogelberg and
yeah,
all that
right.
kind of stuff. Like, all of this money that these athletic departments have spent so frivolously over the years is now catching up with them. That's bad bookkeeping. That's bad financial decisions on your part. And a bad financial decision on your part does not constitute an emergency on the government's part or my part or anybody's part for that matter. The Big 12 teams, Josh, get $30 million a year alone just from their football deals from television. I mean, that's $30 million they're getting right then and there. You know, where's your rainy day fund for all of this? And you're right about the spring sports. They're not paying to travel sports that generate no money, so that should be looked at as a cost savings. You should not be in a hole like this if you're an athletic department.
They're not putting on
sports.
Home games that probably don't make a lot of money.
Right. And that costs money to put on a game.
Right.
And
so they're saving all that.
This is a business, if you will, and I use the air quotes lightly, that doesn't pay its employees. I mean, you've been working on free labor for a century with this student-athlete nonsense that you've been floating out there, and now the minute that you don't have 3 weeks of a basketball tournament, you're crying poor and you can't go on? Tough, tough, tough is what I say to college athletic departments all over the country. Figure out a way to do business better and you wouldn't be in this situation.
In 6 months, I'll all be asking you for a giant check.
Right. Yeah. Can you help us with a donation? We need to build a new $700 million football facility for our 2-10 team.
Wow. 693-06. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to chat about, 693-06 on the text line today. And watering it down next.
Fiasco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So the NFL is going to two extra teams in the postseason, three wild card games, both Saturday and Sunday of wild card weekend, adding an extra playoff team has seemingly drawn a lot of support. One person not a fan, though, Booger McFarland of ESPN. I don't know if he doesn't want to work another game. I don't know.
He may not be working any games.
Might not be, but
see,
not
Joe,
a fan.
Expanding in the playoffs means there's more teams.
not a fan of the new NFL playoff format.
When you look at what we've had, which it rewards the top two seeds, especially teams that go on and have outstanding season, you get that bye, and that bye is important from a mental health and a physical health standpoint. Also, I don't like adding teams to the postseason, Greeny. I think it should be hard to win a championship, and the more people that you bring into it, the more people that you give an opportunity to, you're rewarding mediocrity. Because when we talk about the Rams and the Steelers, we both know those situations, it was highly unlikely based on the regular season that the Rams and the Steelers had, they were going to make any kind of hay in the postseason. But we're going to reward them and bring them into the postseason. I don't like it, and it's definitely going to pay a big deal for teams not getting that bye.
I agree. I don't like necessarily one last team getting a bye.
Sure.
It makes it more valuable.
Yes.
But also, if it should be hard to win a championship, well, then you shouldn't have a bye. like, what are you, like Booger's saying?
What other sport has a bye?
It should be hard. He thinks it should be hard and you should earn winning a championship. Well, then you should have no byes at all.
Right, exactly.
Right? You shouldn't have a bye in the playoffs. That makes it easier to win a championship.
Yep.
Theoretically.
Theoretically, yes, it does. I mean, when you look at the numbers of teams that have the bye, they make the Super Bowl more often than, you know, teams that don't have a bye make the Super Bowl. And I think what this also does, it possibly does create a better Super Bowl matchup for you. You could, you know, if the one seeds in each league have the bye and their road is a little bit easier to the Super Bowl, you're probably setting yourself up for maybe more 1v1 opportunities in the Super Bowl as opposed to what you've had in years past because of those teams having the bye. But what I like about this, and what I think is really, really, really cool about this, it really puts a value now on the regular season. And you've got a regular season now in the NFL that just became more valuable and more important than it was, you know, 48 hours ago before they voted this in. It adds intrigue. It adds excitement. It makes sure that you're doing everything right in the regular season to make sure that you're playing every game to the best of your abilities. It puts more of an emphasis on you not turning the football over, coaching decisions. Like I think it makes
it
the regular season
more
so much more
engaged.
Intense, and it does,
which,
and it keeps more teams
also,
engaged, absolutely.
Which also makes it more meaningful.
Right.
Because more teams are going to have a shot.
Right, and more fan bases stay engaged as well as you go down to the, you know, to the end of the season. I think it's like week three we already start talking about the playoff picture, you know, in the NFL and who's in if the season ended today and who's still in the hunt. Well, that in the hunt category is going to get a lot bigger, and there's going to be more opportunities for teams that are in the hunt category to possibly make it in, Josh, to the postseason. And I think that's a good thing for everybody. You keep more fans engaged, you keep more cities engaged, you generate more revenue that way. I really like the fact that we're adding the extra team into the postseason. I like the fact that they're televising it on Nickelodeon and Telemundo. I think you're creating new audiences, you know, by doing stuff like that. I just think it's a win all the way around, and I can't see complaining about it because the NFL really is the only team sport that has buys. The NCAA tournament doesn't have buys. The NBA and NHL playoffs don't have buys. Now, baseball has the wild card thing right now where, you know, the two wild cards play. But that's just one game. There's really no buys in Major League Baseball either. Football is the only sport that awards a buy in the postseason to some of its teams. And so now they're kind of coming back to the pack with everybody else that, hey, if you're going to win a championship, we're going to make it a little bit harder for you to win a championship. And I like the fact that they've made the regular season a lot more important, a lot more valuable by going ahead with one buy in this situation.
Let's shout it out, 69306. On the text line today, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service, they are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com or call 779-4TOW. That's 816-779-4TOW.
That's good. If you could visit one planet, which would it be? I feel like this is a setup for Uranus.
Yeah, Uranus.
Yes. What it is.
Or planet good pitching, or the moon.
Saturn? That's the one with the rings, right?
Yes, yeah, Saturn has the rings. And Pluto doesn't exist anymore, so we can't go there.
Jupiter's got a whole bunch of moons. It still exists. It's just not a planet anymore.
Oh, it's not a planet anymore? But it's why isn't it a planet anymore?
I believe
like
it
star?
Was... Yeah, it's allegedly like a moon of some sort, right?
All
right,
like I don't know.
Like a satellite moon or something? I don't know.
Well, that's a moon.
Either way. Doesn't Jupiter have a whole bunch of moons? That might be cool.
No idea.
As well.
I have no idea.
I don't think
Saturn always look cool. Like I want to go see the rings.
I want to see the rings. Yeah. Mars has always been like the intriguing planet where everybody wants to go, but I feel like Mars has kind of been played out.
Shout it out, pretty sure my dog's going to think we have abandoned her after all this quarantine is over.
Well, we were wondering that too, because you know, we got the new dog, and like for the first month it was normal life, and now it's like we're here every single day. And we actually had that conversation the other day, like, what's this dog gonna think when we all get back to like a normal life? Are they gonna think, you know, we abandoned them? Are they gonna be able to kind of readjust to the way things were before, you know, this quarantine? And ours is a puppy. Like, she hasn't really experienced life outside of quarantine life right now. So it's going to be a rude awakening for her come the fall when everybody heads back to school.
Someone said Pluto's a planet again.
It got reestablished as a planet. I like that. Recertified.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Pluto.
We missed you.
Mm-hmm.
Really did. My wife and I celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary yesterday by going to 3 different grocery stores.
Well, very good. That's nice. It's getting out.
Yeah. Quarantine anniversary. Congratulations.
Happy anniversary. Ours is coming up on the 12th this month, so we're, 10 days or so away from our anniversary. Who knows what we're going to do? Maybe we'll get some takeout like we did from Red Door last night.
That's romantic. China, the traditional gift for the 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you want to really associate with that right now. Have you guys seen the new OJ video about Tiger King? Yes, we have. We'll get there
a little bit later on in the show.
This guy out here just, I'll tell you what, if anybody knows, you know, getting away with killing your spouse, it's me. That Carol Baskins definitely did it.
Like OJ, when we say he doesn't understand his role
so
in life
rude.
Right now, I mean, it's unbelievable. The way that he did a video about Carol Baskin killing her husband. And then, of course, the comment section. Like, he's got to know what he's doing in this situation,
He clearly doesn't read comments on Twitter. Like,
he must not, man.
There's certain instances.
Self-awareness doesn't exist with this guy.
I've had this conversation with you. There are certain instances where we are 100% fine with cyberbullying, and OJ is one of them.
Well, OJ is one of them, yeah.
Like, that man does not get to enjoy Twitter whatsoever.
And you notice he had like gloves on yesterday too when he was doing the video. I understand we're all trying to wear like sanitary gloves and things like that at times, but like that was exactly like the glove that he wore in the courtroom when he was trying on the bloody glove.
Self-awareness for
OJ is zero.
We'll get back to OJ. How do vampires always look so neat and tidy if they can't see themselves in the mirror?
That's true. They always do look very good, right? Yeah, they always do. Yeah.
I'd say it's considered a dwarf planet.
Yeah.
I think the preferred vernacular is little people.
Little people planet, yeah.
Waffle fries or curly fries? This is actually a solid question. I enjoy a good curly fry over a waffle fry.
I like the waffle fry.
If it's like waffle fry over shoestring fry, that's not even a...
Well, the shoestrings are a waste of time. We've established that on this show. Anybody who's listened to us for a while now understands the shoestring fry is a waste of time. The waffle fry has the best surface area for a French fry.
It's just so great for ketchup.
It really is. Like the waffle fry is a home run.
Catches it in the nooks and crannies.
It's fantastic.
But the curly, I don't need the ketchup.
You don't need the ketchup.
If it's seasoned well, right. It's curly, you just eat it.
Arby's curly fry. You really don't need any of the Arby's sauce or the horsey
sauce.
No,
you get yourself a cup
of that
cheddar, though, on the side with those curly fries.
Well, that's
a ball game changer right there. Yeah.
816 says, go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog. That's the same thing forward and backwards. Who would have thought? it's a palindrome is the word we're looking
set
for.
In.
Wow, yeah, that's the times
go
on your hands.
Go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog.
Go hang a salami.
Can you ask Cody what prompted him to start a swingers group? Again, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that's the kind of group I want to be in.
No.
putting that out.
Maybe if Jennifer Aniston was part of that group, I'd be interested. But
yeah, but that
Cody.
Means you have to, like, you know, kind of offer up the relationship. I don't know if I feel like my relationship's strong enough to stay in that. I just don't know if I'm strong enough to stay in that. I'm willing to give up my wife for a night with Jennifer Aniston.
You're not?
Not if it means some other dude's got to go through
have
it.
Have you seen Indecent Proposal?
Yeah. What would it take, Josh, for you to sell your wife?
You saw that movie.
Yes.
I'm going to need about a tree fitting.
And a slab of ribs.
What animal would you want to be reincarnated as?
A dog. A dog. 100% a dog. They've got the life. I'm watching mine now. Lay in the sun. Gets petted. It fed. It's perfect life. Give me a, let me eat a dog.
Yeah, but you could always wind up going to a bad owner. I would like a. I'd like to be an animal that wasn't, like, you know, domesticated. I'd be like a grizzly bear or something. Nobody ever seems to really mess with them. They go out and eat fish out of the stream and eat honey.
Yeah, the bear is a good thing. Yeah, that is.
Well, there's
true,
always
yeah.
a zoo chance though for a lot of those too.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to be a tiger
something,
after you know.
Something not in captivity.
I feel
captivity.
Like zoo might actually be a good play though. Like, you don't have to worry.
Maybe
about
a penguin.
Anything.
Like what kind of cares does a penguin have?
Well, I mean, seals.
But if you're in the zoo,
oh,
and you're
like
in the
a
penguin
zoo
exhibit,
penguin. Oh
yeah,
yeah.
Like a
all
zoo
the kids
penguin?
Are there.
You
they're waving
like
at you.
Having fun.
You're a hero.
You're
man.
The guy
sliding
that comes
down.
Out in the
scuba
suit. Wears
a tuxedo every day. He eats fish. It's great.
You do have to be awfully formal to be a penguin.
You do. But that's okay. That's all right. I mean, you waddle around. You eat a couple of raw fish. You clap and you go back to your hole.
You does could wear zoo? That penguin T-shirt that looks like the tuxedo.
That's true. Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Does the zoo have casual Friday for the penguins? Mm-hmm. Where they get to wear, like, Hawaiian shirts and just let their hair down?
That's right. They do. Every Friday is like that. You don't see it right now at the KC Zoo? Go check it out
they
on
wear,
the webcam.
Like, Dockers into there.
Yeah. Jeans. Here comes the penguin in jeans. Look at all Bill Belichickian.
He's got,
that
like,
is
polo
today's
tucked in.
Edition of Shout It Out. So All Is Quiet. Is That Good? Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So a little bit quiet right now around the NFL. We had that first wave of free agent signings. We have kind of a little bit of a trickle down, but it's kind of quiet right now. Kind of yeah. some random signings here and there. Chris Jones gets the franchise tag, and we're kind of like, okay, what's next? It's kind of quiet around Chris Jones right now. Is that all right?
Well, it's quiet around Chris Jones right now, but I can tell you from talking to people around the National Football League yesterday, the noise is starting to get louder, if you will, around Chris Jones. And I can tell you from the people that I talked to yesterday that there's a deal out there to be done. And I said, is that a deal to bring him back to Kansas City, or is that a deal to trade Chris Jones? And they said that's a deal for both options right now that are on the table. They said the preference for the Chiefs, obviously, is to bring Chris Jones back into the fold and make him a part of this organization going forward. That's the number one goal of the Kansas City Chiefs. It's still to have Chris Jones part of this organization, and it's not to trade Chris Jones or to stockpile draft picks for Chris Jones. It's to have him part of this organization, and that's what they're still diligent working towards, to try to get a deal done, you know, with Chris Jones. It obviously makes sense for both parties involved, but there's also opportunity out there to trade Chris Jones. As we get closer to the draft, we're 3 weeks from today, you know, away from the draft, the phone calls will start to get more and more and more and more about whether or not people want to give something up for Chris Jones and make it a trade for Chris Jones. We talked yesterday about, you know, DeForest Buckner going for that 13th pick overall, and Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Josh, saying the 13th pick is great, but I'll take DeForest Buckner over the 13th pick. We know what we're going to have, you know, with him in our lineup every single Sunday when we go out there and play. So I think right now there is a deal to be had for Chris Jones to come back to Kansas City. There's also a deal for Chris Jones to potentially be traded away from Kansas City. But their number one goal, their main focus right now, is to find a way to bring Chris Jones back into the fold and be a member of the Chiefs. If I'm Chris Jones right now, though, and it comes down to, you know, signing the franchise tag or ending up getting traded, I would just sign the franchise tag and stay here for one more year based on the circumstances that we're living in right now. You're not going to have an off season to learn a new system. And if I recall talking about last year with Dee Ford, one of the reasons why they traded Dee Ford was because they were bringing a new system in. They thought he may hold out, not be able to learn the new system and be up to speed. Well, if you're a player right now, you probably want to side and stay with a system that you know and that you're familiar with, so you put yourself in the best possible position to have success. Now, I don't know if it's going to come down to Chris Jones just signing a one-year franchise tender here in Kansas City. I think that may be out the window. But if I'm Chris Jones right now, that's what I would
do.
That's what I would do, just because I know the system. I had success. We're in a bizarro world right now. I can come back to Kansas City, have another good year, and then sign a big-time contract after that. So we'll see where it ultimately plays out. But, you know, the person I talked to yesterday about Chris Jones, I said, what about the $177 that the Chiefs have under the salary cap? How does that affect things? And I got laughed at, basically, like, don't worry about it. The Chiefs are going to be fine. They're going to find a way to do what they have to do. There's so many different avenues that they can go down right now to free up money under the salary cap. And I said, you know, fans tend to care more about
home equity loan,
right,
whatever.
Stuff like that. Yeah, you know, call it. Golden Oak and take care of it. They can refinance the stadium or whatever.
Well, I fed that right to you.
You really did. But there are ways to get back under the salary cap and get the money that they need. And I said to the person I was talking to yesterday, I go, fans really care more about the salary cap stuff than teams do. And the response back I got went, well, it's COVID times. What else are we talking about right now? I go, but normally they do. But fans normally do care more about the salary cap situation than teams do right now. So that 177 under the salary cap, it's funny to look at right now. But if they needed money today to go out and sign Chris Jones and make sure that he was a member of this team, they have numerous avenues that they can go down and find that money and get that money to make sure that they can pay Chris Jones. So, like, when we sit here and stress about the salary cap, it really is a moot point. Teams are not thinking about that at all.
Now, you mentioned it might be you would take the 1 year tender.
I would, yeah, that's what I would do.
I don't know if players completely think about, well, I don't know if I'm going to have time to fit into a new system. Yeah. I don't think I would process that if I were a player. And then secondly, you don't know what his agent's telling him.
Sure.
His agent might have a great feel of what the offers are for him and what teams are calling the Chiefs about him and what they would be willing to pay him.
Yeah.
He may be getting some good reports in that vein that says, "Hey, if it ain't Kansas City, there's Team X, and we know that they're going to be in this range."
Let's just say Arizona, for argument's sake, because they got a lot of salary cap room. Let's say Arizona's talking to the agent for Chris Jones and says, "Hey, we can give him X amount of dollars per year if the Chiefs can work out a trade." But what if that team doesn't offer what the Chiefs want in return for Chris Jones? Then again, another moot point that we're looking at right now. So the agents, you know, they can do their job and shop him around and figure out what other teams would be willing to pay. But the flip side is there has to be capital coming back to the Chiefs that's worth it for the Chiefs to go out there and trade Chris Jones. I mean, that, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to working out a trade. You got to find a deal with a team, and you have to find a team that is willing to give the Chiefs exactly what they want for that player in order to constitute this trade.
And do it in a hypothetical manner that doesn't get everybody in trouble.
That doesn't get everybody in trouble. And also, though, but I know from talking to people around the league yesterday, this thing that the Chiefs are doing right now with Chris Jones, their number one goal is still to bring him back. I don't want that to get lost. Their number one goal is to still find a way.
Not shop for a team.
Right, yeah. A team. Their number one goal is to still find a way to bring Chris Jones back into Kansas City and make it work out for everybody involved.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we talked yesterday with Bobby Valentine about baseball being used to heal. We'll revisit that coming up in just a few minutes. Speaking of the offseason and the draft, teams getting ready for things, and not just franchise tag and finances, but the draft as well. Mel Kiper, kind of on your side, Fesco, when it comes to prepping for the draft. The ones that complained that they wouldn't be ready by late April because of the COVID times.
Yeah.
Were the ones that probably weren't going to be ready anyway.
Not at all. And I go back to 1971 and 1974 when the Pittsburgh Steelers had arguably the two best drafts in the history of the draft. They got four Hall of Famers in one draft, not benefiting from this crazy draft process where you test, retest, check, recheck again, everybody, over-analysis, causes paralysis. I think it's too long. The teams that I talk to that have well-stocked departments personnel-wise, they want to draft late February, March 1st. They don't want to draft late April. So I don't think it's going to have any impact whatsoever on teams that have a good idea of what they're doing year in and year out.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that. And everybody that I've talked to about this draft and, you know, being moved or changed or all that kind of stuff, nobody seemingly who is ready to go wants to move this draft. You know, your Lions, your Browns, your Bengals, teams that are consistently terrible drafters out there that never seemingly find a way to get it done right through the draft, they may be the teams out there that want to move it along and delay this and push this thing back. But teams like your Chiefs, your Colts, your Patriots, you know, your Steelers, your Seattles, those teams that are ready to go, that always draft well, that always find a way to get really good picks, those are the teams that are ready to go right now. The teams that seemingly hit on fifth rounders and sixth rounders and seventh rounders, the hay's in the barn for these guys. And I think what Mel Kiper said there about analysis by paralysis, this is the time, and Josh, you've talked about this before, we're overanalyzing stuff right now. We're going out of our minds overanalyzing, you know, a guy's 40 time or a guy's vertical jump or whatever the case may be, and we're forgetting about everything that took place in September and October and November and December on the football field. We're wasting our time right now and kind of spinning our wheels. It's almost like, you know, you're cramming for a test. If you don't have the information by now, you're not going to do it. I don't care how much you try to cram.
I don't know about you. If you pulled an all-nighter in college, was that successful for you?
Not usually.
It wasn't for me.
No.
You know, I tried it a few times, and you're like, man, I should have just – should have just studied,
right?
Went to bed at a normal time, got up, had all the information. If you try to just go over and over and over again, sometimes it crippled you.
But
think that teams can fall into that trap too. Do you need to have the full season of tape, went out there and watched a game live in person, saw the kid at the combine, then went to their pro day too? I mean, you didn't have enough the first, like, four times you saw the person?
Yeah.
You're going to go back and go over it and then probably go back to the office and go over this, and this. Yeah, I think most teams in their heart of hearts would be ready to go at any time. Now, if you're looking to maybe trade a pick at the top of the draft, maybe you'd want some more time if you're not getting the offers you thought you were going to get for those things. You might have to try to stoke the phone lines a little more than you had hoped. You might want a little bit more time because you don't want to make a pick. I think teams that want to make picks are probably ready to make picks.
Well, you look at the Chiefs, though, in 2013, they didn't want to make that first pick in that draft. And you know, there was nothing going on in the world at that time, but there was just not a legit number one overall pick at that time.
Probably could have wanted more time, too.
But they weren't going to get it.
To stir up, you know, if they had it.
Right, yeah.
Maybe they would have wanted more time in that situation because you're like, yeah, I want somebody to come in and swoop in and make a phone call.
Right, but nobody did.
Nobody did.
And if nobody's going to do it then, nobody's going to do it now. You kind of have your understanding of where things are. But it's kind of funny when you put it in the college cramming mode because it's like I'm picturing GMs, you know, like these people that you put on a higher level doing exactly what we did in college, grabbing pizza shuttle and going, oh, my God, I better cram for this poli-sci test.
Maybe it's better this year because they're not in the office.
Yeah, and they probably can get
more
done.
They all have to go to their own space.
Right.
And plus, there's always –
fight their kids for the Wi-Fi at home.
I would think there's always the – well, the other guy's coming in. Like, scout-wise, you know, they're the mano-a-mano scouts who are like, well, there are scouts coming in. I better come in. And that pressure to be in the office and being there all night. There's a certain beating the chest around NFL teams, especially of how long you could be in the office.
Right. Oh, God,
looking at tape. Maybe this has dissipated that a little bit. Maybe this will end up being better for them because they're like, you know what? I got my work done from my own private research facility, wherever that is in their house.
Right.
And maybe this was indeed better this way than spending all those long nights, you know, burning the midnight oil at the team compound.
And I think when you talked about too, Josh, like, you know, going to the pro day and getting all this extra information, that ultimately comes down to a self-confidence. Do you believe in yourself that you know what you're doing? Because if you do, you don't need all these different layers to go through to look at a player, to look at a talent out there. You just understand, like, that guy can play football. Let's go. I'll draft this guy every single day because he is a legit football player.
610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station. Former Major League Manager Bobby Valentine was on the show with us yesterday, and the reason we had him on was the Mets were the first team in New York to play a game after 9/11.
Yep.
He was the manager in that game, Mets and Braves, in that particular ball game. It was kind of to describe how baseball helped heal, help provide them an opportunity to get back to a sense of normalcy, which we will eventually probably see through sports right now. Mm-hmm. Different scenarios and
completely different
level
scenarios,
of
yes.
level of scenarios, but it's something that certainly was relatable. Really, we've only had very certain instances. I can look at actually the sports that were canceled yesterday, Wimbledon and the British Open.
Yeah.
And the only times they were canceled were for World Wars.
World Wars, yes.
Okay. So baseball rarely canceled as well.
Well, but, this is a world war we are fighting. It's not against each other. It's against the virus.
Very shut down on a very limited basis as well over the years. And one of the times was 9/11,
yeah.
right? But Valentine described to us it takes a lot to get everybody back.
The players had a trust that Major League Baseball was making the right decision. It was not an easy sell to have them trust that. And I think the showing of unity before the game took teamwork to another level. So can we do that again? Can we start to establish the trust that's needed in our country for the next event that we'll all try to share together? And can there be the teamwork that's needed in order to win? I mean, this is a formidable enemy that we're fighting right here, and we're not going to do it by being divided. The only way we're going to conquer this situation is by being united.
And it's going to take some trust for the players this go-round to say, whenever that date is to re-enter the ballpark or to go to spring training or what have you, it's going to take some trust like, okay, baseball, are we doing the right thing here?
Yeah, and I think for
or
all
any
sports,
sport,
yeah.
Are we doing the right thing here and going back at this particular time?
Right, and I think when he talked about the trust after 9/11 was for our lives. I think after 9/11, everybody was overcautious. I mean, is this a spot where the terrorists could attack? Would they attack a stadium? Would they attack players? You know, you didn't know what the next step, if there was going to be a next step, was going to be at that point in time. And I know just from being in the Royals clubhouse during that time and being around the Chiefs during that time, there was a lot of questions that players had. Am I going to be safe if I go out there? Am I a moving target out there for terrorism? Are these stadiums, if we open them up again, are they moving targets again for terrorism? Could somebody crash a plane into a 78,000-seat stadium and do a lot of damage that way? You started to see the barricades put up, you know, around stadiums so you couldn't drive close to the stadiums and things like that. So there were a lot of security measures that were put in place during 9/11, and the players had a feel like if they took the field, they weren't targets out there for terrorism. They had a feel that Major League Baseball put them in a position to be successful. And I think that's the way we have to look at it right now. I think players and team owners and everybody involved with sports right now, they have to feel like they're being put in the best possible positions to play and to not get sick. I mean, attacked in a different way than what we were looking at after 9/11. And they're probably also going to have to be some rigorous testing to the players and anyone who will be at the stadiums during those games to tell the players that everything is going to be okay, because the last thing you want to do is clear this thing, have everybody out there playing, and then all of a sudden, boom, somebody has the virus again, and you have to shut it all down. So I think you're going to have to gain the trust of the players that when they go out there and perform, even if it is in front of an empty stadium, that everything is going to be okay, and that everybody's doing their part to make sure that nobody gets infected with this coronavirus if we reopen the stadiums and the arenas, even with no fans in the arenas.
And as much as players want to play, you're going to have players question whether or not they should be.
Absolutely, should be playing.
And
yes.
Rightfully so. Like,
sure.
Personally, do I think I should be out there?
Right.
I think that's going to be a valid question that players are going to have to answer for themselves when that day happens.
Yeah, absolutely they are. And I think the question is going to be, is everybody here cleared of this virus? Am I going to get sick by going out there and playing? Am I going to pass this virus on to somebody else if I do catch it because I am out here playing? So, you're going to have to earn the trust of the players before you're willing to open the gates and start sports up again.
All right, story that broke last night. The Dallas Cowboys have signed former Pro Bowl linebacker Aldon Smith to a one-year deal, according to Jay Glazer of Fox Sports. Okay? On the surface, you're like, okay, yeah, it's been a little while, but Smith, who's now 30.
Yep.
Time from the Time Flies department. He'd been out of the league since 2015.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That was more stunning than somebody signing Alden Smith.
Missouri Tiger and a Raytown product. Had a terrific start to his career, of course, with San Francisco, and has been completely derailed with off the field issues, substance abuse, violating the personal conduct policy, multiple DUIs.
And he's checked all the boxes.
Had a 1-year suspension for a hit and run incident, and he's not been reinstated since 2015. He's not reinstated now,
right,
actually,
yes.
But the Cowboys are signing him to a 1-year deal, believed to be a couple million dollars and $2 million in sack incentives over the course of the year as well. That according to NFL Network. According to Jay Glazer, Smith is now clean and sober, which could be paving the way for his return to the league, and the process of getting reinstated apparently is underway.
Jay Glazer's a good guy to have in your corner in a situation like this, too.
And, hey, I'm all for second chances. I'm not sure I'm for second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. I feel like Alden Smith had enough chances.
Yeah, he has. He has. Like, what are you gaining if you're the Dallas Cowboys by giving an opportunity to a guy who's been out of the league for 5 years since 2015?
I guess a nice story of overcoming your demons.
I don't know. I mean, like, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys and I'm another team, I'm like, I can find somebody else to go out there and do what I expect out of you, who's been out of the league for the last four seasons. And
I'm more inclined to make someone like that like a grad assistant.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
You want to get into coaching?
Yeah,
and you've cleaned up your life. I'm all for it. I don't know if I dangle in a $2 million flyer. It's a lot of money.
Well,
it's not a lot of NFL money. I get it, but a $2 million flyer on someone who's one, not even reinstated by the league, and has had multiple opportunities in front of him that has squandered them.
Well, this guy Alden Smith, I think people forget how good he was in his first two seasons. Josh, he had, I think, 32.5 sacks in his first 2 years in the National Football League. That's the biggest 2-year combination of sacks since 1983. That's how good Alden Smith was in his first 2 years when he was playing. One of his coaches at that time, who was his defensive coordinator and then became the head coach, was Jim Tomsula. Remember stumbling Jim Tomsula mm-hmm. out there in San Francisco? And he was those press conferences were a dream for everybody in sports talk radio. Well, now he's with the Dallas Cowboys as their defensive line coach. So he's a guy that understands Alden Smith. He's a guy that had success with Alden Smith. And I'm sure Jim Tomsula went to bat big time for Alden Smith down there in Dallas and said, look, I'll put my reputation, whatever that is, on the line for Alden Smith, because I believe in him and I believe that he can play. And look at what he did in his first 2 years when I was his coach out in San Francisco. He put up amazing numbers. Now, he was a lot younger back then, played the game, you know, on a consistent basis coming out of Missouri and whatnot. But I think those are the reasons why the Dallas Cowboys are giving him another opportunity. He's got an ally in Jim Tomsula, and that potential that we see in sports, man, you just can't get away from that potential at times. If you're involved in sports, you're always going to look at that guy and go, man, look at all that potential. Am I willing to take a chance? And the Dallas Cowboys are one of those teams that are willing to take a chance. Me personally, I'd have been done with Alden Smith because of, number one, he can't behave himself off the field, but he also hasn't played in 4 years as well. And I don't know that I'm ready to waste a roster spot in whatever sense on a guy who hasn't played in the league in the last 4 years.
Yeah, so if he's cleaned up and is on a great path, great. If he's working with Jay Glazer,
yeah.
I know that takes a lot of like project stuff, does a lot of work with veterans and those things, and then he's got the ties around the league
yep.
to clean himself up and get on the right path, great.
I mean,
absolutely great. But yeah, I don't know that necessarily even warrants another trip to the NFL.
No, I don't know that it does either. And, you know, it would be opening day in Major League Baseball for Kansas City today anyway, the Royals opening day. And a couple of years ago at opening day at a Kauffman Stadium, we had Alden Smith on the show. He was one of the
great
guys that came out.
He
was amazing.
Yeah.
And so personally, I like Alden Smith. I really do. Like, that's a guy, like, after we were done with that interview, like, we're rooting for this kid, man. Let's go. Come on, man. Stay straight. Stay on the right path. And then he clearly veered it off. I'd love to root for Alden Smith, but for me, man, being out of the league for so long and having so many things going against you, I just don't believe that he's worth another opportunity and another chance. As a grad assistant, I'd be fine with it, but as a player in the league right now, I'd have to pass.
Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him overnights here on 610 Sports Radio. Checks in for his weekly visit. We talk playoff expansion. And will we have enough baseball? Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.